Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to
Ray and Kay today, talking sports with friends.
Ray and Kay today.
Sports radio on the dial. Check us out. We'll make you smile. And they spit it, don't play. And we're talking nothing but the NFL and NBA, MLB, college football, college basketball.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the show. This is Tay, Eric Taylor. And I think Ray's here with us too. Ray, you there? Anyway, Ray will be here soon, having some technical difficulties. But you know what? Ray and Tay today are here, and we are here talking sports. So give us a call, 718-664-9098. Like always, hit us up at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com, rayandtaytoday.com. Tweet at us at rayandtaytoday. Like us on Facebook. I mean, you know what? This is a good Sports Monday. We got to talk about the sheriff. And I think the one thing that you got to love the most about Peyton Manning and everything that he's done is he did 509 and got 510 last night. He got it in the first half, but breaks Brett Favre's record in 56, I think, less games. I mean, wow. The Denver Broncos look like the best team in football. Their offense, their defense, everything. Ray, you with us? You know, so, and Ray will be here. It's one of those things where you just got to tip your hat to Peyton and just be like, wow, he is truly the best quarterback in the NFL. And, you know, the interesting debate is, ever, because Ray and I were speaking about it off air. Montana and Bradshaw have 4 Super Bowls. Aikman and Brady have 3. Bart Starr has 2, and he had a couple of championships. A lot of guys with 2, Plunkett, Eli Manning. But I think if Manning could get that second Super Bowl win, he's 1-2, then, you know, you would really put him in a place that he probably belongs, that's, you know, special. I think right now he needs, you know, he really needs that win. There's Ray. Peyton Manning needs that win, Ray, to be special, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We've been having some technical difficulty. I've been screaming my thoughts about Peyton. But nobody's listening.
Well, listen, the Niners listened last night, Ray, in the second quarter. He got it done before halftime, 42-17 over the Niners. So we can talk about the Niners and their issues and the Seahawks. But right now, we got to give Manning his love. How impressed are you? I think he's done it in 56 games less than Brett Favre. I mean, Peyton Manning's amazing. And can he get it to 600? That's the question.
You know what? Bayless, you know, we like to be original on Ray and Tate. But I got to give Skip Bayless this one. On First Take, he kept saying that Peyton Manning is the best regular season quarterback in NFL history, and that's got to be the case, hands down. This guy is the main man of NFL quarterbacks. But we talked about this off air. As much as he does during the regular season, playoff wins and Super Bowl wins are ultimately what it's all about. You know, you could compare, think about the tale of two Mannings, right? I don't even think Eli Manning, if it weren't for those two spectacular Super Bowl runs, is a Hall of Famer. And yet his brother has 2 Super Bowl rings. So I really think that for his legacy to go down, even his top 3, he needs to win himself another Super Bowl. He's done all you can do in the regular season. Oh, and by the way, in his 2.5 years in Denver, what has he got, like 100, almost 120 touchdowns?
He's amazing.
It's crazy.
No, it's very impressive. You know, and what I like about the Broncos, you know, sort of touch on some fantasy here. I have their defense in one of my leagues. And this year, Ray, I think the difference is their defense. And it's funny, I'm watching the game with my son, and I brought it up to him. I'm like, How, I wonder, when they pay Peyton $18, $19 million a year, how can they afford all these other players? Because it's not like the receivers are so cheap. I guess the running backs are on rookie contracts. But, I mean, you're paying Ware. You're paying some defensive guys. I just think Elway, we got to salute John Elway with the job that he's done, him and Fox, with this cap. And right now, you could say today, it's, you know, Cowboys, Broncos, and Cardinals in the clubhouse as the three front runners of the best teams in the NFL, you know. And imagine a Cowboy-Broncos Super Bowl, which was a classic game last year. I forgot what week that was, maybe week six or seven. A great game that, you know, Romo threw the interception that they lost. It was like, what, 55?
Shootout, right? Like,
yeah, 55, 52 or something. Yeah, something
like
crazy.
That.
So, you know, that's fascinating. So we tip our cap to him. We got a lot to talk about today. We'll get to, you know, the World Series preview, college football, the rest of the NFL. Let's talk about a couple of other little news and notes. How about in NASCAR, Ray, Brad Keselowski coming through in the clutch, you know, for, you know, to relate it in terms, it's like the 15th round as a boxer. He needed to get the win or else he would have been eliminated like Dale Earnhardt and Jimmy Johnson, my guy, was. But Keselowski gets the win. He's still alive. There's eight cars left in the elimination, Ray, and NASCAR, and this is when it starts to get exciting before they get down to the final four. Each race, one guy will go. What do you think? Obviously, your boy, your pick, your upset special pick, your Jeff Gordon pick is still there, but your Joey Logano pick is there. Kyle Busch is gone. So what are your quick thoughts on what's happening with NASCAR and
job
that Brad did?
We got to get used to this new format, but
yeah.
It's very interesting. You know, my boy Joey Logano, you know, that's my dark horse. But
Think
about this. Think about who was eliminated, right?
Stars, yeah.
Dale Earnhardt Jr. was eliminated. Your guy Jimmy Johnson was eliminated.
Kyle Busch.
These guys – Kyle Busch, these guys are going down. So, you know what? I may be into this new format. This new format's all right.
No, it's a lot of fun, and I think it will pull in fans that are not normally there, you know, for NASCAR. And then for the purists of NASCAR, they've got to be excited because, like one of the critics had said today, look, if you look at it, if it was just a regular chase, those guys would be pretty much eliminated anyway, from it. So good point. And, you know, things are changing in sports. You got the NASCAR change. You have the college football change. We'll get into that, you know, we wish Archie Manning well with the knee surgery. He has to step down off the committee. I don't think they're going to replace him. So I think they're going to stick with 12 guys, which is interesting because I thought they wanted to stick with 13 for any tiebreakers. So that should be kind of fun. We'll talk about that. But real quick, in hockey and NBA, hockey has started. They're already getting ready, you know, their season. NBA is getting ready to start. Got to touch on a couple little NBA stories. But in hockey, sad to say, we had the defenseman for the Kings. Sugay Volvov? Can't say his last name, this guy. Domestic violence. In hockey, I give them credit. They suspended him indefinitely. So I think – hockey is, look, all sports, Ray, we all know, are going to be on it for, you know, what happens at Slave Vova, with their players now. So, you know, they're saying, like, look, you're done, and we'll see you whenever. So, you know, I think that's the way to go. I think we're going to have stronger policies throughout the four major sports leagues with domestic violence, and that's the correct thing to do. You know.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, the only good thing about it is nothing good, but the good thing about it is that it brings to light this issue of domestic violence. And if we can put an end to it or at least curb it, then all this would have been worth it.
And you've seen the new commercials, right, with the NFL when they say no more, oh, she was drunk, no more, oh, he was this, no more. I like the commercials. They're trying to and heighten, awareness and stuff. And the NFL, they've got a platform. By the way, I didn't mention it last show. I was looking. The ratings are up 6%, and that's thanks to CBS from last year and 10% from 2013, from the year before. So the NFL is just surging and booming. So that's pretty interesting. I noticed an NBA, Ray. So the season starts on the 28th. We got our preview Monday the 27th. I see that, you know, teams are making their little moves, waving guys before camp. You'll like this one, the Bearcat from Cincinnati, Sean Kilpatrick, who was just a clutch scoring Big East player, signed with the Warriors, and he might have an outside shot to make the roster. You know, so
you know what?
That's kind of interesting.
Yeah, anybody that scores 2,000 points and does it in the Big East, and he's tough. He's a little small.
Yeah.
You know what he is? He just gets it done. He's not the most athletic. He's not the quickest. He's not the tallest. He's not the best shooter. He just gets it done. I like to see guys like Sean Kilpatrick succeed. So I hope he makes the team, and I hope he provides decent backup to Klay Thompson at Golden State.
Right, and I like that because they've already signed Barbosa and stuff like that. But what I like about exactly what you said, Kilpatrick, I think the Warriors' backcourt, you know, not to criticize them, because I think Klay Thompson is just, like, you know, top three shooting guards, and we'll have to, you know, Rain Table will break down our top five for each position. We'll give you some fantasy basketball stuff. We got a league going. And then also the Heat signed Larry Drew II. So the former Tar Heel, see if Larry Drew can make it on with them. But Ray, I got to ask you just a real quick question with the NBA. What do you think about this whole theory that Kobe Bryant is the 40th best player? I mean, you know, people come out with their different rankings or whatever. But, I mean, if Kobe's healthy and, you know, sort of still Kobe-ish, is he really down? Would you think he's the 40th, you know, best player? I mean, that's like, eight guys for each position. I can't imagine.
The problem is injury, right? You can never know how bad his Achilles and then his knee injury and all that will cost him. So until you see him play,
I don't think he'll be better than that. And the funny thing is, everyone was kind of joking. He might be 40th, but he's number one in salary, so Kobe's pretty smart. You know, with that. And it's going to be interesting. I think, you know, just in some of the games that I've seen in preseason, obviously the Knicks play tonight against Milwaukee, you know, and just how some of the teams are looking, it's definitely going to be a fun season. You wonder about the Spurs trying to repeat. And I just wonder with that Western Conference, Ray, how do teams like Minnesota, Phoenix, and Denver – ever, or even the Lakers, ever crack the playoffs in that top eight? You know, you got to wonder who would drop out. You know, Houston, Portland. I mean, even Dallas, you can't say they're going to drop out, because Dallas probably got better with the trade. And, you lose Calderon, but having Monte Ellis and Chandler, and then you sign Parsons and different veterans. I mean, have Richard Jefferson.
No, you're right.
They're tough.
If you're a GM in the West, what do you do? I mean, do you wait for these older teams like San Antonio to just kind of fall apart and get a hold of them? Or do you just, try to get the 7th or 8th seed like Portland's been doing the last 2 years and go with that? Because that West Coast is just so brutal. That Western Conference is so brutal.
Yeah, how does, like, the Pelicans, like, with Ashik and Davis, and if they're, you know, guys stay healthy, like Eric Gordon, Drew Holiday, and our boy that was on Sacramento. If they could stay healthy, you would think New Orleans can maybe crack in there. But then you're like, who gets knocked out? You know, I mean, that's the easy thing. Like, oh, Phoenix could get in, New Orleans, maybe Denver. But who drops out of the eight teams of last year? And you just can't see any of them dropping out. Memphis looks like they got better. Dallas got better. The Spurs aren't going anywhere. And so it's very disheartening for a young team like even Sacramento, who's got a ton of young talent. So it's just kind of fascinating. And we will jump in the next week really heavy into the NBA or whatever. But, you know, I think, Ray, it's time for us to talk some baseball, man. Before we end, you know, do our college and then NFL, it's time to give baseball its love. We've done a lot of baseball this year on the show. We've had a lot of fun with it. And it's coming down to nothing that either one of us predicted. and it's coming down to, I think, potentially a classic World Series. The American League has the home field advantage thanks to the All-Star game, and the Kansas City Royals are hosting the San Francisco Giants. And, you know, it's Big Game James versus Madison Bumgarner. I just tell you right off the bat, like I said with the Cardinals series, Ray, I think game one, the Giants on the road with Madison pitching, that's a done deal for me. I just think even though Shields is 3-0, what, Madison's 3-0 at least too, right? Or 4, is he 4-0? I don't remember. But
3-0, he won 2 in the last series, yeah.
Yeah, so he's 3-0 too. So I tell you like this, for me, when I look at this series, I'd have to break it down that Giants take game one, but I think somehow, some way, in the 2-3-2, I think the Royals win in 7 games. I just like the clutchness, the scrappiness. This break might have, you know, calmed down their bats, but I do think overall they've got liver arms in the bullpen, and the Royals have some pretty solid pitching. And I think their pitching might be a little bit better than the Giants. At least it has been of lately. So I look for Hosmer and Kane and Gordon and Moustakas. I think they're going to be clutch, and I just think Giants, because they're such veteran, they'll win 2 games in Madison pitches, and they can get another. But I think the Royals will win 4-3 in a probably a classic World Series, right? I think it's going to be fun.
Well, it's funny because I didn't expect either of these teams to win. I expected the maybe them to win their play-in game, but definitely not to win the LDS or the LCS. But they both did. And both of these teams, if they won, I wouldn't be mad because they came from 2 different places. And the Giants, if they win, have to be thought of as a dynasty. I mean,
a dynasty.
3
exactly.
of the last 5, and what is it, every other year since 2010? And
even years of theirs.
If you think about it, they go, it would be them, the Red Sox, and the Yankees would have won in the last 20 years, they would have won, 11 of the 20 World Series. So that's, I mean, and you don't think of the Giants like that.
No.
So I have a sneaky suspicion that the Giants are going to win this. And,
ooh,
you know, I've been pulling for Kansas
City.
Well, that
would be their
Pittsburgh.
8th championship. They have 7, and the Royals only have 1.
7, yeah. You know, I have been pulling for the Royals and the Pittsburgh Pirates. If that was the World Series, it would get 0 ratings on national television, except I would watch. So maybe I'd watch on 100 different 100 million different televisions to give them, you know, a rating.
I'd be right there
million
with you.
Households.
That would have been classic for us. It would have been.
But you know,
really,
what? In my heart,
you feel this in your heart, your guts. You're down with our old buddy from WFAN, Mad Dog Chris Russo, who's a longtime Giant fan. You really think the Giants are going to do this?
I'm pulling for the Royals. I want the Royals to win. I want the small market team to win. I want the team that hasn't won since '85. I want the team that was the Yankees' biggest nemesis. But I have a sneaky suspicion that the Giants, even more so than the Royals, know how to win these close, tough games, whether it be on the road or at AT&T Park in San Francisco, which is a beautiful park, by the way. So you need to make a road trip. Put it up, you know, all these baseball fans out there, you need to make a road trip, you know, to San Francisco and see that park. But I just have a sneaky suspicion they're just a little bit better. They're just a little bit more clutch. They're just a little bit better in pulling out those close games. And I tell you what, Ned Yost, as a first-time manager, going this deep into the playoffs, he's made some mistakes. So I have a feeling if it comes down to it, I'll put Bruce Bochy in there and put my confidence that he'll make the right maneuver ahead of Ned Yost. I think Ned Yost will be fine, and I think he'll do well, but I think that, you know, he's shown a few mistakes early on.
Right.
I like Bochy. If it's a tiebreaker, I'll take the manager, and I think the opposite. I think the Giants win in 7.
Okay, well, let me just tell you recent history, which is, you know, August 8th, 9th, and 10th, the Royals swept them, Ray. 3-0. They won 4-2. They won 5-0, and then they won 7-4. So that's that's a little hopeful for those KC fans out there. And you know what I would say? Majority of the country is rooting for the Royals, because I think the way that they've gone undefeated so far in the playoffs and the way that they've won people's hearts, it's really been a fun ride. Now, these teams are very close, right? In the regular season, 88-74 for the Giants, 89-73 for the Royals. So that's pretty fascinating, you know what I mean? The Royals a little better hitting, 263, Giants 255. And then when you look at the ERA, the Giants 3.50 to the Royals 3.51. So this is, you know, on paper, this is a tight, tight matchup. Tight, you know, tight series. And even runs per game, 4.1 for the Giants, 4.0 for the Royals. So we're in for a doozy either way, man. So, you know, Ray and Tay have seven each. Ray with the Giants, Tay with the Royals, and let's strap it up. But I got to tell you, Madison, he's doing it for Madison Avenue, because you know what? This guy's going to get commercials. If baseball could ever step up
unless,
their marketing.
Unless my man James puts up the shield.
Big game.
Speaking of James, have you seen all these LeBron James commercials?
Yeah.
LeBron is all over the place.
Yeah, no, definitely. And you know, I think it's so funny. He's got one with our boy with McDonald's. Our boy Gus Johnson jumped in on one. So I was like, yeah, that's great. But I think it's fascinating that I'd like to see other sports follow the NBA model. And NFL is starting to do it better. They, you know, they do the teams more, and they are starting to do, you know, they've got the big commercials for NFL Now and, you know, their new website and all this stuff. But they still market their players. You know, you see commercials with Breeze or McCoy and stuff like that. So you know Manning, you know the individual players a little bit better. But baseball, gosh, you couldn't recognize those guys if they were standing next to you at the post office. You know what I mean? And baseball doesn't have helmets. So that's like
exactly.
That's a bad job. So like, come on. I mean, if the Giants win and Madison gets two or three starts, this guy, he needs to get a commercial. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm sort of shocked that like someone has not pushed this or thought of this more on for the MLB side of things, because all they want to do is promote Trout and talk about Puig. Well, you got so many other guys. So, and I guess they do it locally, but, you know, you got to do something nationally. You know, you really do.
Is your boy Paul Goldschmidt well known? If you go over to Lord, what's your grocery store there? Kroger? What do you guys have out
there
in Arizona?
Yeah, you know, we got you know, fries and stuff like that and you know, Safeway, different things. But, you know, yeah, at Fries or whatever. No, out here, they don't have so much of the local, you know, Givi. Kirk Gibson was big, you know. Oh, and they hired a manager, too. We forgot to mention that. I forgot the guy they hired. I think he was with another organization. But so they got a new manager there, the Diamondbacks. So, look, baseball, look, we'll be all in it. Come Friday, we'll have, what, I think two games played and going into game three, I believe. So, We will update it, be on it, and you heard our picks, Royals in seven and Giants in seven. So let's take a quick little break, and let's get hyped up to finish so strong with the great college football week 8 and a great week 7 in the NFL. And then we got a doozy tonight, my Pittsburgh Steelers, Ray and Tech.
Back, and we're back to talk football. So we got to talk a little bit about the college on Saturday and then get into the NFL on Saturday. And
yes,
I got to tell
sir.
You, I have a couple of mixed feelings. First of all,
tell me your feelings. What's your feeling?
The football season's almost half over. Can you believe it?
Gosh. And I don't even talk about
terrible. That's like the glass is half empty.
Depressing.
Also, I'm not doing so great in fantasy this year.
Well,
so that
listen,
hurts my heart.
That's what I was going to say to you. We're going to have to give, before the show's over, we'll give some quick advice for teams that are on the brink that they've got to start to win this week in their fantasy leagues. So maybe trades or players to get or get rid of or give up on in terms of how to save your fantasy season. So we got to give them some insight. So let's pump up the college football right now. I think right now everyone would admit that we saw the best game of the season on ABC Saturday night, where number 2 beat number 5, 31-27. That last play, you know, the sort of pick play, was the right call, but I do think Florida State, they did legitimately just get beat on it. But I think the ref has to make that call because the receiver did not – he blocked them too much. He needed to show – put his hands up and look like he was trying to actually run a pattern, and then they would have won the game. And it's a shame because I think that win would have potentially given a really solid chance for Everett Golson to be up there for Heisman. I got to say, after watching this game, Ray, I am so impressed with him. Notre Dame's defense, which was shutting down Florida State. Granted, Winston came back strong in the second half. But Notre Dame is for real. And I like Fuller and Corey Robinson, Dave Robinson's son, as wide receivers. And that game was amazing. But Rashard Greene and Winston, they will be shining on Sundays in the NFL. And I think everybody saw that. Winston is a real quarterback. And kudos to Florida State. They won the game. But that's a classic. And like you said, Ray, with the rankings, we know it's all SEC top five, and we'll get into that in Florida State. But Notre Dame, where they stay? They're at 6. We gotta you know, look at these rankings real quick. But they deserve all the props that they can get because Notre Dame played some football.
They do. And you know what? We've knocked Notre Dame and how they feel entitled and they feel like they are Notre Dame and they should be in the BCS talk every year. You got to earn it. And,
yeah.
You know, there's no moral victories, but they earned it. They definitely earned it. They could have easily won the game. Like you said, that pick, they dominated most of the game. They were ahead most of the game. It was always Notre Dame would score a touchdown and then Florida State would have to catch up. And this was in Tallahassee. This wasn't on a neutral field. This wasn't in South Bend. This was in Tallahassee. So very impressed with Notre Dame. And I tell you what, this kid Everett Golson next year. He lost that year because of, you know, being kicked out of school, whatever. He's going to come back and be a leading candidate for the Heisman. Having said all that, though, this,
yeah,
Florida,
they're
State,
number seven,
this
yeah.
Florida State team just seems to do it, you know, like I predicted. I thought it would be a close game, and then I just thought somehow they seem to be focused. They're like this veteran, you know, obviously you can't play 10 years of college, but they're like these veterans in the NBA, 10 years, who just, or NFL or hockey or whatever.
To the Spurs?
They're just,
they got a little Spurs in them?
Yeah, they've just been together. This feels like they know how to deal with adversity. They have, like, the old man syndrome. They feel like they've been there. They're kids, after all. They're 18, 19, 20, 21-year-old kids. And
impressive
yet they're playing
wins,
with
yeah.
such poise. And I give them credit, especially with all the off-the-field stuff and with Jameis Winston and sitting out the half and the investigations. And let's put all that stuff aside because, you know, who knows what actually happened. On the field, these guys are doing what they have to do, and you got it to lose. Their national championship to lose because the ACC, they face their hardest opponent in Notre Dame. They should run through the ACC schedule. So, really, they need to get right, you know, pencil them into
right.
the final four.
And they
four.
Already beat Clemson, only two ranked teams. So there's not,
yep, pencil them into the final four.
Well, yeah, and then we got to, you know, let's just run through this real quick because I think top 25, what's so impressive is that it's the SEC. I mean, it's – you know, Mississippi State, they had their bye, so they stayed number one. Florida State, 2. Ole Miss with another impressive game and win. They stay at 3. 4 is Bama. They put a shellacking on Texas A&M, who we won't ever see again in the top 25. They are good night, good day, sir. That was the first time a Kevin Sumlin team's ever been shut out. That was impressive. Then at number 5, you got Auburn. So that's the 4 SEC West teams, just from the SEC West.
Not only the SEC West, but think about this. It's in only two states.
Two states.
It's Alabama and Mississippi, and they're bordering states. So think about how football is just crazy. And then Florida is right next door, right, in terms of, like, the next state east.
State, yeah. No, the southeast of football is dominating.
Wow.
You know, and then you got Oregon 6, Notre Dame 7, Michigan State, who I guess they kind of have an outside shot if they maintain the Big Ten chance, but I don't know about them right now. Georgia at 9, who we discussed off air because of Chubbs getting 200 yards as a pure freshman, they are still alive and still a very strong team, and they're in the SEC East. So they have a shot to beat one of those Western teams in the SEC Championship. So they're still alive. And then TCU, Ray, that was impressive. 9 points against Oklahoma State, who we know has got a powerful offense. And I think the Big 12, they're beating up on each other, just like the Pac-12 and the SEC West will do. But I think if TCU can somehow win out with even, you know, such a close loss to Baylor, TCU has really got a shot, them and Kansas State, to make it to the top four. And Kansas State's right there at 11. Big win. What do you think about Kansas State, their big win at Oklahoma?
Big win. You know, I didn't think Oklahoma was going to lose in Norman. I thought this would be Travis Knight's coming out. Probably, I thought he'd go for 350 and 4 touchdowns, and they would pull away in the second half. But that quarterback down there in Kansas State, the Wildcat. He's nice. He's been showing that he can do it on the ground. He can do it in the air. He's clutch. Winning in Norman's not easy. And
but the field goal kicker gave him the gift. He gave him the game. You know.
Yeah, I was thinking like the Cincinnati Bengals in the NFL. I was like, this is your game. You just won it. It was center. It was, you know, nothing's easy, right? But it was not. You know, you weren't asking him to hit a 58-yarder like the Jets at the end of the game. Everybody's like, oh, you know, last week the Jets and the Patriots. He wasn't going to make that field goal, even if it wasn't blocked. But here, that was a makeable field goal.
Yeah. No, it was pretty impressive. And, you know, and we got to give shout out here to the Sun Devils, Arizona State. I called it on the show. I told you, you know, even though we're friends, you know, we got to get some ASU guys on the show. But, you know, friends of the show, David Shaw came on in Stanford, and you know, we give props to him. But this is not his team. They're fading fast out of the top 25. 10 points at ASU, 26 to 10. And Stanford, Arizona State is proving, Ray, that they're a legit team. You know, they really, I think right now you've got to start to look at Arizona State as maybe the Pac-12 champion. They've got a shot. If, you know, if they can somehow battle head-to-head or you know, beat Oregon, they've got a legitimate shot. I mean, you know, they got one loss. Oregon's got the one loss.
Yeah, it's in their hands. I mean, you got to figure that I'm disappointed in Stanford
and UCLA
and USC.
25.
I'm disappointed in several of those teams. But Arizona State, you know, Oregon, the Pac-12 is a solid, even like the new teams, right? Utah was looking okay for a minute. They are, but you always love when you control your own destiny, right? And they're playing Oregon.
Yeah.
So Oregon's the bully right now. Oregon's the best team in that conference. Oregon is pretty much it's theirs to lose. So as long as Oregon doesn't go to sleep, they should be, you know, and if they win out, then they should punch their ticket to the Final Four, right? Because they beat Michigan State. Now, they beat them at home in Eugene, but they should punch their ticket to the Final Four if they can run all the way out.
Pac-12's got a lot of ranked teams. I mean, you just look at it. Yeah. USC at 20, UCLA at 25, and Utah at 19.
Yeah.
And, I mean, and look at East Carolina. You got to give them props. They'll be in one of those access bowls, I guess the New Year's Day, you know, top bowls, ranked 18. And you got Marshall and, you know, and you got to give West Virginia gets a lot of props, man. You know, they have played some good football this year. You know, West Virginia is a pretty impressive, you know, I laugh because You know, they beat Maryland, but we used to, you know, and Maryland beat Iowa. Go ahead and beat the Big Ten, baby. Yo, Terps. You know, I got to shout out my Terps, man. But I think this weekend we'll get some more big matchups and we'll learn more about where it's going to go. And then think, what, 2 weeks from Tuesday, the committee announces the first top 25 rankings. And, you know, like we said, Archie Manning won't be on it. They're going to roll, I guess, with 12 guys. And we'll see what they're thinking of who the top four teams are. And, you know, it would be a shocker to me if Florida State is not at number two. Just because how they've won, how they've looked. And it wouldn't be a shocker to me if somehow – I guess they couldn't put Notre Dame in the top four, but I don't know. We'll just see how it plays out. Because if Auburn or Alabama slip up, Ray, don't be surprised if you see Notre Dame or Oregon in that top four. And if the Mississippi team still keep winning next couple of weeks, it's going to be fascinating.
The only thing is, again, you know, people love these rankings, and we'll get into it, and obviously we'll talk about it. But it's almost meaningless in October because we know that Mississippi and Mississippi State are going to play each other on November 29th. And we know that all of these conferences finally have a conference championship.
Except for the Big 12.
What's that?
Big 12 doesn't have one. Except for the Big 12. They don't have one.
Except for the Big 12, right. Yeah. But all the major conferences
weird.
Have one. So, yeah,
because I think
weird.
If you're going to have a legitimate playoff and then, you know, a committee, sort of like college basketball, then every conference should sort of have the same standards. So it should be play nine conference games, not eight. You know, some people play eight. Play nine conference games, three outside the conference. And, you know, you should try to schedule, you know, not three cream puffs, you know, maybe just one cream puff. But at least, you know, have a conference tournament. And I think it should be unified. And I think eventually in a year or two, the Big 12 will do that. I really do. Because they can make money from it, too, you know? I mean,
kicker. It's like not only is it the right thing to do because everybody else is doing it, and if you want to consider yourself the national champion or your conference brings the national champion to the, you know, to the national championship game, you should want to go through the same process that everybody else did, and you can make money off of it.
Yeah. No, I could see them signing some exclusive deal with Fox. And, you know, something like that and having the Big 12 championship on, you know, FS1 or something, it's going to go down. It's only a matter of time. Hey, I don't know if you saw this real quick before we get to the NFL, LeBron, another thing on LeBron, he would say that, you know, I tell you, this would upset Mike from Pittsburgh. He would be pissed. But LeBron basically said the Bulls are better than the Cavs right now, you know, talking about their team and their roster. And I'll tell you, I've seen a couple of these Bulls games, Ray. This kid, Nikolai Mirotic, he looks good. With Dougie Buckets, Jimmy Butler, and Tony Snell. Oh, my goodness. Between Butler
and
Snell.
And the healthy Derrick Rose.
Yeah, and you can have two candidates for, you know, most improved player in Tony Snell and Butler. Because Tony Snell looks like he's going to be a real scorer.
But do you have enough minutes for all those guys, though, at the two and the three?
I think so in a sense that they'll have a little rotation. Just like they'll have a rotation in the front court, they'll have a little rotation. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, there'll be guys that can play, you know, 20, you know, they're not, everybody's not going to play 35 minutes. So they'll play, like, somebody will play 30, somebody will play 28, they'll play 25. So I think it'll be balanced.
I'm a little bit worried about their front court scoring. I mean, we'll digress a minute on the Bulls, but yeah. I'm a little bit worried about, you know, get rid of Carlos Boozer, but he still provided something that a lot of the NBA doesn't have, which is offensive front court scoring, you know, from the four position. So we'll
which
see.
He will
we'll
do. See Boozer will do for the Lakers this year.
Yeah. So let's do it, man. You ready? You ready to talk some NFL?
Yeah. You know, I got to tell you, let's go with some of these late games. I want to go right to your Cowboys.
How about them Cowboys? And I didn't even predict that. I predicted they'd lose a close one to the Giants.
I went with them. And I got to tell you, Ray, that team, and let's, you know, we gave Manning his props. Can we give the real MVP leader in the clubhouse right now his props? DeMarco Murray. I got to get the stats if he's got 1,000 yards yet, but he has seven games, set the record. 7 games to start the season with over 100 yards. That is very impressive, Ray. And that defense, they got the turnover, you know, when Manning came down. And who was that? Donnell fumbled. And, they got that. That was like, yo, that was good. That was really good.
And I'm very happy Dez Bryant made a great play. Romo made a great play towards the end. And, of course, Jason Witten only had 2 catches, but that critical first down catch that he had. One thing I'm worried about, we talked about it a little bit, is I think your boy's running the ball too much. DeMarco Murray's running it too much. I'm a little bit worried that he's going to break down. He's been injured for a little bit.
You want to see
more
carries from Dunbar and Randall?
Yes, for sure.
That's fair.
That's my only
view. Right now, your triplets are amazing. I mean, it's not necessarily Aikman, Irvin, and Emmett, but Murray, Bryant, and Romo, pretty darn good. Romo's playing like a pro bowler. You know I'm rough on Romo. I got to give him props.
Yeah, and you know what? This is the perfect thing for Jason Witten at the end of his career. Still helps move the chains, but he's not the playmaker that he was, 4 or 5 years ago. So Jason Witten adds like an aging Jay Novacek kind of thing. This kid Williams is a decent little receiver on the
Alvin
outside, and he's a little Alvin Harper action going on. So look, I'm not saying this is the '90s teams that won 3 out of 4 Super Bowls, but Cowboys are good. Cowboys are looking good. I want to see them. The truth is, I want to see them against really, really excellent competition.
They played the Seahawks,
but look, the Seahawks look like they've got some issues, it turns out.
Yeah, we're
going to
talk about that, too. Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't
They're
know.
The Niners.
Right. I mean, look. But let's talk about that Seahawks game. Let's talk about that Seahawks game. Because to me, I think what the Rams, and Austin Davis did was pretty impressive in the sense that, they play them tough already because it's a division game and they're at home. But the reality is that fake punt return was amazing with Tavon Austin and Stedman. They call that the Mountaineer something. For the West Virginia guys. So that was pretty impressive. And Stedman Bailey runs that back to the house. So I was like, wow, they pulled some trickery. And then the fake punt when he threw the ball. Like, that's gutsy.
Back up in their own
territory. Fisher,
so that was
– That's what you got to do. That's what you got to do. If you want to win if you want to win,
that's why
when
you're a one-win team, you're very dangerous because you'll do things. I bet you if they were 4-1, 5-1, they wouldn't do that.
Probably not. No, you can't believe that they would go for it and with such confidence. But Fisher. That was a good win, and you know what's so funny, Ray? They want to get some more talent or whatever. Trade one of those running backs because I truly believe the Rams have 3 starting running backs. Trey Mason got his first touchdown. Had to send a little tweet to him, give him his props. Happy for Trey.
He might be the most talented of all of them.
Yeah,
even
with Zach Stacy and then Cunningham.
Zach Stacy is probably the most polished right now.
Right. But don't forget about Cunningham. Who gets a lot of the goal line carries, for fantasy? He's a beast.
They could trade
one of those guys. They're like Cleveland. Cleveland's got West, Tate, and Cromwell. I mean, teams now having 3 good backs. It's kind of like wow. But a lot of teams, they do it. But I think he could tote the ball by himself, Trey Mason or Zach Stacy. I think those backs could easily get 25 carries by themselves. I just don't think teams really want to do that anymore. You know what I mean? So, I mean, that's something that I think is kind of interesting. But let's be honest. When we look at the West, and we got to talk about the Cardinals, they got that win over Oakland. Cardinals are in first place. Shout out to my oldest son, Elijah, who's a big Cardinals fan. He called about the show. And, hey, right now, there's no reason to believe that the Arizona Cardinals, Ray, cannot take this division. Let's be honest.
No, and they control their own destiny, right? Because look,
they play Niners and Seahawks.
Regardless, they play the Niners and the Seahawks. The Niners and the Seahawks still have to play each other again. So
twice.
If you are the Cardinals, you got to think this is ours. Like the Niners have issues with Alden Smith and now with Willis. And Bowman and all those injuries on defense and then in the secondary. So they've got issues. And we didn't talk about it, but Seattle trades Percy Harvin, their number one playmaker, and they've got some issues there. You know, we always said it's tough as a defending champ to win, and even though Russell Wilson's doing his darndest and they still have a great defense, that team is flawed on the road. For some reason, they just don't play as well.
Let's be honest, right? If Maxwell went out and in the Cowboy game and then they had to go with another backup and so they couldn't and then Sherman had to follow Brian all over the field. Well, they don't have the depth that they had last year because remember they had Browner. Browner starting over there in New England looked pretty good his first game playing against the Jets. And then they lost Clemens and they lost Red Bryant who just got a nice win over there in Jacksonville. Both of them are down there with Gus Bradley. So. You know, when you lose three starters on your defense, and then Wagner was out yesterday, you know, it's a little bit of a different team. You know, they're not creating turnovers. And in sacks, they only have like five sacks. They're 27th in the league in sacks. So, I mean, the Seahawks are struggling. They're not creating, you know, turnovers. It's not the Legion of Boom right now. So they're in a weird place, and that NFC West is really for the taking. I got to ask you two teams. If we go down to the Beltway and the whole, you know, D.C. Baltimore area, and the Ravens and the AFC, they look like the unsung team, the sleeper team in the AFC, especially as the front runner in the AFC North because the Bengals are falling apart. 29-7 over Atlanta. What are your thoughts about the Ravens, C.J. Mosley, Suggs, the defense? And obviously the Falcons are a non-factor. But how do you like Baltimore right now?
Justin Forsett, I got him on the
top five rusher.
Cal product. I got him in his eighth or ninth year, journeyman. You know what? Good for Baltimore. I thought when they lost Ray Rice that they would be done for the season. Yeah. And they came out and Steve Smith Sr. is really the spark that they need.
I heard Deion say, that's somebody's father.
Exactly. And then Dennis Pitta goes down. So, you know what? You got to give Ozzie Newsome and Harbaugh credit for maybe GM and Coach of the Year, given the whole Ray Rice issue, given Ray Rice, given all the injuries, given Pitta going down, you know, give them credit, man. I tell you what, that's interesting. Oh, speaking of the Beltway, what about the Redskins? They just announced that Colt McCoy
is starting.
Quarterback.
I was talking about that.
He's going to be their quarterback until RG3 comes back.
No, he's starting. Yeah, he's got the starting job. I think it's amazing. And I think the Redskins, you know, we talked about those rivalry games. They play the Cowboys next week. So that's a really, you know, going to be a real fun, tough matchup. I'd say, tell you something, Liz. You want to look at some of these stats. Golden Tate in the top five in wide receivers, but the number one receiver for all you fantasy heads, show some love for my man Jordy Nelson. That's my guy, and him and T.Y. Hilton are just doing hip hop right now, killing it in receiving yards and stuff. But Ray, DeMarco Murray, seven games, 913 yards. The next closest, and he plays tonight, number two, is 542 for Le'Veon. So maybe Le'Veon hits 600.
How many carries is that?
Oh, it's a ton. It's a ton. He's toting, as they say, he's toting the rock. But we'll see if Arian Foster, who's third in the league, he's got 513, if these guys get over 600. But still, right, even if these guys have 200-yard games, they're still over 200. They still would be over 200 yards behind Murray. So DeMarco Murray.
Look, Murray's on an all-time record pace.
He's on a pace, and I got to tell you, we'll talk about what the Chiefs did to the Chargers because I was impressed with that. But I got to tell you, I am really giving props right now to Andrew Luck and Aaron Rodgers. They are playing some great Andrew Luck, another 300-yard game, and let's talk about what they did to the Bengals, 27 a donut. Now, I understand A.J. Green's not there, and you don't have Marvin Jones. You have Mohamed Sanu. I don't know if Tyler Eifert got to play, but Ray, I mean, come on. Zero? What's up with the Bengals and their defense and just the team? Are they
terrible,
like false?
Terrible.
Are they
you
false
know,
prophets?
So frustrating. They climb up to the mountain, and you want them to get to the other side. I really do. I really want the Bengals to do well, just like I wanted the Pirates and you know, in baseball and the Royals. I want
in
them
two Super Bowls, to never won, 0-2.
Decent. Yeah, they lost, what, in 81 and 89? By the way, have you seen that Ike Woods commercial?
Oh, I love it. Get some cold cut. Get some cold cut. Yeah, that is so, I don't know, whoever did that. That's a great spot.
Icky needs to lose like 30 pounds. Oh, Icky, man. You've been hitting the dinner rolls a little hard. Anyway, that's the dinner roll. If you're the Bengals, though, you got to be disappointed. You've got to be disappointed. Like you said, okay, so you lose an A.J. Green, but you're not even competitive. You get shut out.
Yeah.
And it's a Colts defense. It's really not that great. I mean, they're okay, but come on. This is not good.
This game should have been, like we were both saying, like 27-24 or something like that, not 27-donut. Hey, we got to mention these injuries, though, because Trent Richardson went down, so Bradshaw owners, you know, he'll get more of the carries, but he'll be okay, probably play this week. But for Buffalo, Kyle Orton is the man. He comes back, gets a drive to Sammy Watkins. They win 17-16. They're killing the NFC North. They just have to play the Packers. They're 3-0 right now, but Fred Jackson out for a couple of weeks. I'm not sure how many. And our boy C.J. Spiller done for the season. So, and Brian Arakpo. We talk about the Redskins, all you Redskin fans. Sean and everybody down there in D.C. Cousins gets benched. They beat Tennessee, so they win 19-17. But they lose. And it's a pectoral, right? Now it's the left, I think, pectoral. He tore the right twice. Now he tore the left. So Brian Arakpo is out for the season.
What's going on with this? This didn't happen 20 years ago. What are these guys doing nowadays where you're tearing pecs? I mean, you always had ACL, MCL, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
What's up with these pecs? What's going on? What are they doing?
Too much. I think Cat, you know, I think sometimes the guy, you know, but you don't know in a game, right, when you strain, like you reach, you try to, you know, pull alignment. I mean, look, if you're rushing a passer and you're trying to stretch and you're trying to pull down or over a 320-pound offensive lineman, you could tear a pec.
That's true. Good point.
You could have a shoulder come out the socket. God, I hate to be doing that. I'd probably have a torn shoulder, a ripped pec, a chest cavity would be bleeding. It would be a mess. So, hey, props to Hank's Dolphins, 27-14. Ray, I got to ask you, are the Bears done for the season? What the heck's going on in Chicago and Jay Cutler? They cannot win. And I'm not mad at Brandon Marshall for either calling him out or just saying that the team itself needs to do better, because he's right. 0-3 at home, 3-4 overall. And give the Dolphins credit, you know. They're only, they're 3-3, but they're still breathing in the AFC.
I'm very disappointed with the Chicago Bears. You figure Detroit probably should have lost that game to New Orleans, but they didn't. So they're now 4-2. Green Bay, like Aaron Rodgers said, just relax. Green Bay is getting their groove back, and you got to figure the NFC West is going to give you at least one, if not two, wild cards. So if you're Chicago, you might just be watching your playoff hopes slip out right in front of you. So yet another year where everybody's going to talk about it. I hate to do it to them, but everybody's going to talk
about games,
Brandon
right.
Marshall and Jay Cutler not bringing the goodies.
Their next two games are Patriots and Packers, and they have a bye week.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. So 3-4 could turn to 3-6, and it's a wrap.
Quick, fast, and in a hurry. I mean, they got to split. They got to win one of those two games.
And that's not going to be easy. I want to ask you, though, do they not – I mean, Forte, to me, is very talented. He had 12 rushes. They ran the ball 14 times as a team. I mean, don't you think that's part of the problem? Two of those rushes are from Cutler. I mean, how do you give Forte 12 carries for 49 yards? See, this is the problem with
Forte,
the offense.
I don't know if it's Tressman or if it's Forte, but Forte's always been an enigma.
But he produces. Look, he's got 6 receptions for 60 yards. Gets you 49 yards. He had a touchdown. The guy, he does his job.
But it's almost like they're too cute with him. And that's why I did like last year.
I'm sorry. One rushing and one receiving. Gosh, what
no,
a
he's great,
he,
and he's great
he's
on fantasy.
Team.
And
yeah.
But here's the thing. I'm going to give you the poor man's version, and I'm going to give you the rich man version. The poor man version of Matt Forte, the rich man's version of Matt Forte is Arian Foster. Because I feel like Matt Forte, he's so talented, came out of Tulane, and he really stepped up and has had a pretty solid, especially statistical career. But can you give him the ball 25 times, and can you tell him, look, you're my guy. You're my horse. I'm just going to ride you.
But 12? I could give him 19 or 20 and six receptions.
I know, I agree, but maybe they don't think he's the horse. He's great. He has no,
But if you say that, right, you could say that, but then, okay, they drafted the young kid out of Arizona, Kadeem, whatever. He didn't have any rushes. Nobody else had any rushes. Jay Cutler had two rushes. So 14 rushes for your
that's
team.
That's weird.
That's
an
a problem. And so Tressman, this guru genius at home, you don't run the ball at all? Listen, we got to talk about the Monday night game.
They play outdoors and in Chicago, so you got to run the ball in November and December.
Coach, I rush, baby. And the thing is, the Dolphins are not that good. So before we get to Monday night, though, let's give the Chiefs and Andy Reid some love. 23-20 in San Diego. Alex Smith and the Chiefs, they are just like – they're like some old, two-train cockroaches. They just don't go away. I mean, shout out to the two train. And you know what I mean? Like the Kansas City Chiefs, pretty impressive. Alex Smith, 221 yards. He's not throwing any great receivers, but Charles and Niles Davis, they, get their runs. Davis, 10 carries, and Charles, 22 carries, Ray. That's what you do. That's and Alex Smith, 6. You run the ball. You know what I mean? Dwayne Bowe, 5 receptions, and they dominated clock. So the Chargers had the ball only for 21 minutes the whole game. That's how you beat them. So kudos to the Chiefs and the recipe. And, Kelce and Dwayne Bowe played good, and they get the victory.
Kelce is a nice player, and he's going to be a top 5 tight end, I think, going forward. He's really nice. And you're right, Kansas City, when they're on, and give Andy Reid credit, he's got his Jamaal Charles back, and they don't have any superstars on offense with the exception of Charles, but Charles and Davis, Niall Davis turned out to be a nice little duo.
Yeah.
But you know what? Speaking of duos, let's talk about
my boy,
their
Bell
Pittsburgh
and
Steelers and their trio.
Tonight.
Ben Roethlisberger, Antonio Brown, and Le'Veon Bell.
Woo!
I mean,
I can compete with anybody.
R-B&B.
B-B&B. It's going Big Ben, baby. That's BBB. ABC,
right.
BB. They're part of the East Coast family. So I got to tell you, I think we win this game. I think we got to, I don't know if Clowney might play. I don't know if he's playing. But we gotta stop the Texans and their pass rush and what they do and Cushing and, J.J. Watts all over the place. But you know what? We got Pouncey and we got some, offensive linemen that I think are going to give him a little bit of trouble. I just think the reality is we have got to stop Arian Foster. People have been running the ball on us, and if Arian Foster gets over 100 yards, we could lose this game. So I'll take the Steelers actually winning a close one. I'll say 24-20. Pittsburgh edges out the Texans and look for Brown over 100 and Le'Veon over 100 to get the victory for fantasy.
Wow. Okay. I like the Steelers too. I think that the Steelers are going to be able to score 27 points. I think the problem for the Houston Texans is they're not explosive anymore. With Andre Johnson not being himself, DeAndre Hopkins not really stepping up, really Arian Foster is their playmaker. And if you can contain Arian Foster, which I think the Steelers will be able to do, they'll hold him 90 yards, maybe 24 carries, 90 yards. Maybe he'll get a touchdown. They might throw a little bit to Graham. They might get a touchdown here or there. But I feel like this team is not explosive enough. So if Steelers can score 27, I think they'll hold the Texans to 20. So I like the Steelers in this game by a touchdown.
Thursday night, the classic, the Chargers at the Broncos, AFC West. Can the Chargers lose 2 in a row, or will they get a W? That's going to be fascinating. I got to tell you, I think Manning and the Broncos are on a roll. but for some reason, San Diego plays them great. I like for a classic, 27-26, Novak hits a 48-yarder to win the game. Chargers pull
really?
Out Denver. I'm going with Phillip and the boys.
Okay. I think Phillip and the boys will be very frustrated because of this loss to Kansas City. They don't want to lose in the division, but I think they will. I think Denver, like you said, is on a regular season roll, and I don't think that the San Diego Chargers who beat them can beat them again last year. I believe Peyton Manning is going to put up another 35, and I just think in that shootout scenario that they win by 8. So 35-27, I got the Broncos winning on Thursday.
Okay. So that's going to be it should be fun. Either way, it's probably going to be the best game of the season for CBS and for their ratings, and it's Manning Rivers, a lot of fantasy stuff. You know, real quick, Ray, who do people need to give up on? Do you give up on a Frank Gore? Do you give up on a Vernon Davis? Do fantasy owners who have some of these guys that are not producing, Jamaal Charles is up and down, I guess.
Charles will be fine. I'm a little worried about the whole San Francisco offense. I don't know what's going on there. Stevie Johnson.
And what about Lynch?
The guy that you take. I got to believe Lynch is coming back because Seattle can't win without him. I mean, Russell Wilson's running the ball too much. They got to get beast mode. Because if not, it's going to be a bit ridiculous. So,
do you ever start Cam Newton again? If you got him as your quarterback, the Panthers?
I just don't like his receivers. I never have. Even with Calvin Benjamin, he just doesn't have enough receivers. So unless Cam Newton's going to run the ball and give you 50 yards on the ground, 60 yards on the ground, and a touchdown, I think you stay away from Killer Cam.
Do you trade Ed Lacy now from Green Bay? It seems like Starks is getting more carries. If you're an Eddie Lacy owner, do you trade him now, or do you
hold on? If you're an Eddie
Lacy
owner like me, who drafted Monty Ball, Le'Veon Bell, they all went around the same time, late first, early second round. So can't think about what you drafted him at. You got to think about where he's going. If you can get something for him, I would, but I still think Eddie Lacy is a quality running back. And look, that's why I loved Monty Ball. I mean, I didn't love him. I was picking last in the first round, but I just thought that the Denver offense would be so spread out that up the middle would be so easy for him and for any tight end, whether it's Tammy or Thomas. So in Green Bay scenario, Aaron Rodgers is doing his thing. So you figure the middle of the field should be open for Eddie Lacy and now James Stark. So don't. If you can get something for him, go get it. But Eddie Lacy can still have value.
Do you roll with Matthew Stafford or Tom Brady?
Brady is an enigma. He'll be up and down. He'll still have a couple more 4 or 5 touchdown games, but he'll have, I think, just as many games where he throws for 180 and a touchdown. He may even win those games.
I think Edelman and Gronk. Edelman and Gronk are still good for fantasy. I don't know about any of those Patriot running backs.
With Ridley going down, though, they might have to throw more, so maybe Brady's value goes up.
Right, but Shane Vereen was the fantasy stud of this past week. He got busy. I mean, Shane Vereen was the fantasy starlet. Of course, Aaron Rodgers and those other guys. I mean, Matt Ryan gets you a lot of fantasy stuff, but you don't get any wins. But, you know, you can always put Matt Ryan out there. I don't know about Matthew Stafford. Until Calvin Johnson comes back, I had him starting in a league. He just kills you. But I know about those. Yeah. I don't have Joyc Bell, but I got Reggie Bush, and he has not been doing much in fantasy. So, I don't know. Little tidbits from Ray and Tay. We try to, you know, give you guys a little something to help you or whatever. I think should be a good game tonight. Everybody strap in and get ready for the World Series. You heard our picks. We will be back Friday, and hopefully – I got the Chargers and Ray's got the Broncos. We told you the World Series. We'll be able to see who's right, Ray or Tay. And then we're going to get ready to really get involved soon. It's coming up next week, NBA.
NBA, baby.
Yeah, man.
All right.
Well, great show.
Have a great sports week.
Definitely. We are out. I hear young Jackson calling his daddy. So it's time to go. Ray,
we're out.
Talking sports with friends. Give me a statement, I might spread the word. Give me a statement, I might spread the word. Give me
give me a statement. I might spread the word. Give me a statement.